Take our Bibles now and turn to our scripture reading. Find it in Joshua, two different chapters, Joshua 23 and Joshua 24. I will read the entire chapter, the 23rd chapter, and then just a few verses from chapter 24. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you, drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God hath spoken concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. And then into chapter 24, verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And now, verses 28 through 31. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. As far as the reading of God's word, may he bless it to our hearts and our spiritual nourishment and understanding today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, as you should recall, has called for Israel representatively in the nation's leaders. That is, the elders, the heads, the judges, officers, entire government. And he gives them what is often considered two farewell speeches. One in chapter 23, all of which we read, and the other in chapter 24, to which, of course, we will refer. Now, the first of the two, which were separated by at least 30 years, Joshua addresses himself to the national leaders. And also, of course, at this time, you will note that he's getting up there in years. He's not knowing how much time he's got left. The second speech is extraordinary in that the leaders now gather to say that they want to wish farewell to this talented and noble and beloved leader. And also to listen, to hear his last words of encouragement and admonition. And Joshua, like his predecessor Moses, had labored long and hard to lead the people of God. And now the time of his sojourn, the time of his earthly pilgrimage is nearing the end. But he remains very zealous for God and for the faithfulness of the people. And so in both speeches, so I read verse 1 of chapter 24, In both speeches, with the authority from God, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel, called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now, Joshua's primary concern and interests were in the people of God and their safety. Both physical safety, but also spiritual safety. And he began by calling upon the elders as witnesses of God's grace to this nation throughout their past. Again, I repeat the words of from chapter 23, verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. Now, those words, because of you, cannot fail but grab our attention. They have been the apple of God's eye. Moses, of course, Joshua's predecessor, had been most explicit. The command against the wicked Canaanites was very clear. And I read to you now from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, and the list comes, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven greater nations and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall you take unto your son. For they shall turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Deuteronomy 7, the first five verses. So you see, Moses' warnings and instructions were pretty unmistakable. I want to read some more from Deuteronomy 4 and chapter 6, and some from chapter 8 too. Here it is. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Take heed to yourselves, lest ye forget. That's where the title comes from, this message. Lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord your God hath forbidden you. And then beware, lest you forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwell in them, and then your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then that your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Can't get much clearer than that, can you? The elders were to derive strength and protection by observing and performing all that the written law of Moses had set forth. And so, you see, with tender warmth, Joshua reasons with these elders, these leaders of Israel, and he reminds them very forcefully that they should cleave to God's law and love God. Reading again from our scripture. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. That's part of what we just read. That you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. Verses 6 through 8 of Joshua 23. You see, the Lord demanded the supreme place in the hearts of his people. And now especially in the hearts of these elders who are leading them. So he says specifically to them, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Verse 11. Joshua insists, you see, upon loyalty and such loyalty and love for God because he is only too aware of the propensity of the human heart. And so he says in verses 12 to 13, Else, if you do, and again, we've just read this moments earlier. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Beloved, there's only one deterrent from this proneness to wander from God. And that deterrent is occupation with God and His Word. You know, the psalmist understood this. The psalmist understood this so correctly when he wrote these familiar words. I think most of you maybe have them memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Beloved, God is ever faithful to His promises. How could they possibly depart from Him and resort to these vain idols of the heathen remnants? And so Joshua reminds them, verse 14, you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Verse 14 of our scripture. Pretty plain. And then in chapter 24... Joshua follows a usual method by giving a detailed review of Israel's history, again, to remind them of God's promise and His determination to implant His people, Israel, as a nation in Canaan. And the psalmist, in like manner, examines the details of Israel's history as proof of God's faithfulness to His covenant promises. And we haven't got the time now, but turn to Psalm 78. You can read all about it. Psalm 78. And so, beloved, what tremendous lessons can be learned now from history. Because of God's faithfulness. And lessons also from man's complete failures. How solemn were the words of Joshua to these elders. And so his second and final address now finished. You can read the whole of that in chapter 24. Anyway, that second one now finished. We read the close. So Joshua let the people depart, every man, unto his own inheritance. And then, of course, follows this postscript, which we also read. Let's hear it again. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. That's verse 29. And then how gratifying to read of the people and their elders in verse 31. Look at it. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. God's mercy and faithfulness were in full evidence because of his almighty power. And then how beautiful these words. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. That's verse 14 in chapter 24. What he had promised, he was able also to perform. So how could they possibly turn their backs on God? Sadly, beloved, this is not the end of the story. Not the end of the story. There is a sequel. And that too, we must hear. And I read to you from the book of Judges, the next book to follow Joshua, the book of Judges, beginning at verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And then there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Well, beloved, that too we have to learn and know. And the Church of God might well learn from this sad history, must learn from this sad history. How telling. How typical. They forgot. They did not remember. And after Joshua and the entire older generation died and a new generation arose, a generation that had not experienced the wars and the victories of the Lord under Joshua, come into existence. And the Israelites of this generation no longer looked upon the Canaanites as their enemies, because they no longer recognized those Canaanites as enemies of the Lord. And when they looked for ways to associate with the Canaanites and get closer to them, they not only made a covenant with the Canaanites, but even intermarried with them. And before long, the Canaanites took over their idol worship. Oh, the Lord was still their God, but he was now among many who must compete with all the rest. No longer were they a separate people. God's people looked exactly like the rest of the world. Now, for some specific examples of what happened soon after the death of the elders that outlived Joshua, we must skip to the last five chapters of the book of Judges, where we find that infamous description of the period, and I think you're familiar with it. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that what was right in his own eyes. And in these last five chapters of Judges, we see the terrible spiritual condition of the covenant people of God. The depth to which they had fallen. As you read those last five chapters of Judges, and I encourage you to do that, but it focuses on two Levites, the tribe and men who were specifically to be consecrated to God to reveal His grace in Israel and to serve as their spiritual leaders. The story begins. The story begins with a man named Micah, who was a thief and an idolater. And through the instigation of his mother, Micah erected an image and appointed his own son to serve as priests so that they could worship God as they saw fit. That's the way the Canaanites did it. And thus, when this wandering Levite shows up, where Micah lived, by the way, this Levite should have stayed in one of the cities that was assigned to the Levites, but he didn't. Micah immediately gets hold of him, installs him as his priest. After all, he's the real thing. He's a Levite. And what could be better than to have your own Levite as a priest? Surely this would please the Lord. And sometime later, the men of the tribe of Dan, passing through in search of more land, learned that Micah has a Levite priest. But they convinced this Levite that he would be of greater service and much better off by becoming their priest. So this Levite takes the images, the tools of the trade, so to speak, and takes off with these Danites. A Levite. A Levite for hire, you could say, huh? Yeah. Offering his services to the highest bidder. And where he could make a name for himself. So off he goes. And there's a second Levite in these last chapters of Judges. A second Levite takes to himself a concubine in addition to his wife. And the concubine, of course, plays the harlot. And in his efforts to get her back, this Levite finds himself involved in the abominable sin of Sodom, homosexualism, which now also is infecting God's people. In fact, the entire tribe of Benjamin came to the defense of this sin. You can read about it. We don't have time to go into further details. Now I want to read to you a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 11 and verse 6. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 6. Now, these things happened to them for examples. Now, examples imply that these things continue to happen. So what can we, or better, what must we learn from these examples? What happened that the next generation failed so miserably and soon forgot or did not remember the Lord and what He had done for them? You know, before Israel had crossed the frontier of Canaan, Moses had said these words, and I'm reading again from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and then also some verses from chapter 6. I think you'll recognize some of them. Only take heed to yourselves and keep your souls diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart, they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them. Teach them to your unto your sons and your sons' sons. Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You shall teach them diligently unto thy children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gate. Well, what happened? Why did they fail? I think the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? I think we all know it. They didn't teach the children. They got lazy and careless. And when God's people, the church, forgets what God has done, what He commands, and is no longer diligent to teach the next generation, anything goes. Think of what passes for worship in much of the church today. Huh? It's turned to entertainment. It's like going to the theater or to some rock concert with all the amenities thrown in. Think how the church, right along with the world, has come out for homosexuality, the alternative lifestyle. Anything that appeals to the lust of the flesh is being re-examined. And now we're calling evil good and good evil. You see, it need not be wrong if it's done in love. That's the reasoning. Oh, but preacher, that's the liberal apostate church. That's not us. But how did they become so liberal? Well, they twisted and mutilated God's word so that they wanted it, so that it said what they wanted it to say. Or they dismissed it simply no longer being relevant or applicable. It's old fashioned. Next. Because the creeds and confessions were accurate summaries of that word, they were either rewritten or abandoned. That too has happened. The result, they had nothing left. They had nothing left to teach the next generation except to simply let them do whatever was right in their own eyes. Things come around, don't they? Whatever appeals to the depraved and wicked heart. And God's people, the church, ends up one with the world. Beloved, that's how it goes. If we don't watch out, if we aren't alert, it can happen to us. It did once before. And we must never forget. We must never forget what God has done for us and what He commands. Our creeds, our confessions continue to be accurate summaries of what God's Word teaches. How diligent are we in teaching and passing them along to our children? The complaints are there already. Catechism's too hard. Catechism's too hard for our children to memorize. The Belgic Confession and the Canons of Dort, that's too much for people to comprehend. Why can't we try something else? Something different, something easier. So it goes. And before you know it, these words are true. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Judges 2, verse 10. Well, I hope that this teaches us a lesson. That we understand what Joshua's purpose was in calling this council together. You know, and it corresponds too to the intentions of the Apostle Peter when he wrote to the churches of his day. Getting closer. I read to you from 1 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, this my body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And beloved, that's it. Exactly. That must be our purpose and that of the elders as well. To put them in remembrance of these things always. So, in conclusion, beloved, I trust you can see that Joshua is indeed also addressing us. Will we heed? Will we listen? Aware of the weakness of the human heart and the people's propensity toward idolatry and worldliness? Joshua brings his address to a close with this challenge. And so he challenges us. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So as Israel was admonished to put away all strange gods and to fear and to serve the Lord alone, so we too are responsible to keep ourselves from idols, to be separate from the world, and to remain in the love of God, looking always for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I close with this. Remember these comforting and assuring words from the psalmist. Psalm 103, 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments, to do them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us. Help us to remember. Help us not to forget. That we too, O Lord, will one day join with all of the saints in glory, rejoicing in your grace and in your love. Hear our prayer again for Jesus' sake. Amen.